You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm your host, Ian Shelley, and I really appreciate you being here in this beautiful space, this wisdom orb that we've created for everyone here in the community. Thank you for bringing your high vibrations and just really participating in the collective consciousness of this amazing space. The Wisdom of the Ancients series is about ancient wisdom. It's about what was once known, practices, knowledge, and wisdom, but not only from our own planet, but from other worlds, galaxies, dimensions, and realms too. And not only from the past, but also from the present and the future, where all the time-space realities converge right now into this space. And the theme for this series is expressions of truth and expansion. So may we all be open to receiving any messages that the divine has for us so that we become a true offering and do our part to help raise the collective consciousness for all beings in all realms. And as we start this call, we call in the ancient ones. We call in the beings of love, light, power, and service. Call in Divine Mother, Divine Father to support us and to open our hearts. And we have a very, very special show today. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Sanjay Nemar is an expert in metaphysics, psychology, energy medicine, and technology. He studied from a teacher in the lineage of Yogananda Paramahansa, who wrote the autobiography of a yogi. So many of you will know that. He holds advanced degrees in management and engineering from top-rated schools in the United States. He worked at Motorola for 16 years, where he was one of the inventors of 3G and 4G cellular systems. Using his scientific and spiritual knowledge, Sanjay has engineered an unprecedented healing system that heals the body and the mind with particles of life energy that are remotely transmitted from the Himalayas 24/7 to a person anywhere on the planet. Sanjay is fast becoming one of the most powerful healers on the planet. We are very, very grateful to have him here. He has over 400 Google verified 5-star reviews from clients all over the world. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Sanjay to the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Ian. I'm very excited to be here with your community.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we are honored to have you here, one of the foremost healers. And everyone, today, Sanjay is going to be talking about how to gracefully break free from narcissistic abuse. And you'll learn really what causes this dilemma. You'll also understand how this one issue gets set up in your consciousness at a very, very young age, and also how fixing this issue will help you move forward towards your goals with much greater ease, speed, and grace. And Sanjay is going to take live questions. So everyone, *2 to raise your hand if you'd like the opportunity to have Sanjay answer your question. And you can ask Sanjay, what is the one pattern in your consciousness? So what is the one pattern in my consciousness that is blocking me from going to the next level of happiness? So I'm sure everyone has that on their mind. No matter where you are, no matter what state of being you're in, there is a next level of happiness. And Sanjay can help you identify that pattern in your consciousness that's blocking that. So make sure that you raise your hand, *2 to raise your hand, or put your question in if you're listening on the web through a webcast. And then towards the end of the call, Sanjay is also going to take us through a process that is called a rapid increase in self-worth. It's a meditation. And towards the end, Sanjay will explain that in maybe in greater detail, but make sure that you're on for that. So that's a rapid increase in self-worth. It's a meditation, and that's going to be towards the end of the call. So, you know, Sanjay, I wanted to get into the topic, but before we do that, I would love to have you in your own words, because this is the first time you're on Wisdom of the Ancients. We certainly have members of our community who've heard you on other forums, but there might be people on this call who've never heard you, and you have a fascinating, fascinating background. Certainly now, as you're emerging as one of the foremost healers on the planet, you know, I think it would be wonderful to start the show, Sanjay, by maybe in your own words, you know, sharing with us how you went from an extremely successful, you know, we're talking about executive management, inventive career with Motorola, to really becoming one of the foremost healers that are on this earth today. And if you could just share a little bit of your story to give us some background, I think we'd be very appreciative.
Yeah, no, actually, it all ties in very well with the topic you're going to discuss today. So I have a very difficult, dysfunctional background in my childhood. My mother was narcissistic. My father was borderline narcissistic. And I found other people in my life who had very similar traits. What that did to my my life, not day, but what that environment created for me was a very stifled environment that I could not express myself fully. So my heart energy, my what really charged me, what made me, was suppressed. And with that mindset, I came into this world and I lived a good part of my life doing things that my parents wanted me to do. And it was all nice and good. It was very useful for my journey, but still my heart was somewhere else. So that's the transition that happened. Is the first half of my career was doing things that I was good at, but at the same time was not where I was really fully aligned with. So in an opportune time, I was helped in moving forward from that place into something that I truly enjoyed and I really wanted to do with my life. So that's how that transition happened from Motorola to my career in healing work.
Okay. Yes. I don't want to speak over you. So I wanted to ask a little bit about your discovery of the energy, the particles of life energy that can be transmitted from the Himalayas. So I know I'm curious about that, and I'm sure others on the call are also curious about that too.
Right. So a little bit of a background. If you take a child and look at how they are growing in a family when they're born and they grow, they're essentially forming based on the environment. Right? The environment is their container that they are developing in, and the environment can be a restrictive container which helps you grow only up to a certain limit. So you cannot go beyond the boundaries of the environment. So the religion, the parental upbringing, and all that kind of stuff puts you in a sort of a mold as you grow up. Now, this mold is an energetic mold. So if you are in this energetic mold, which is not completely aligned with who you truly are, you will come out to be a person that is not really who you want to be. So my thought process was that if there is a way to change this energetic container for a person. So as a person is growing up and they grow up into grow up in a dysfunctional family, but they turn out into something that they didn't really want to, can I put them in a positive energetic container which will help them blossom to a next level of wellness? That was my theory that I started with. So based on my knowledge, spiritual knowledge and energetic knowledge, and combined with my training at Motorola, I said there should be a way to wirelessly transmit an energy that will form a positive container for a person, and in that container they can start to grow to really who they really are meant to be. So after many years of experimentation, I found the presence of these particles, and it's a really long story, but if you can just make an assumption that there are particles of life energy that can be harnessed from nature, they are everywhere in nature. Just like electricity, electrons are in nature everywhere. Just like that, these lifetrons are everywhere in nature. And actually, Yogananda Paramahansa uses the term life form, and that's where I picked up that term from. So these life forms are particles just like electrons. And just like we harness electrons from nature and transmit it through wires to people's homes, I found a way to harness these particles and wirelessly transmit these particles to people anywhere on the planet. So that was the whole premise and the theory where I started this work on, and then many, many years of experimentation, trial experimentation, fine-tuning things to create this device that is actually placed in Darjeeling in the Himalayas. And it's placed inside the house of a friend of mine who manages this, maintains this device for me. And I connect with this device remotely through the internet. And basically, this device is harnessing these particles from nature and then remotely beaming them to a person anywhere 24/7 to a person. And when the person is put in this energetic presence of this energy, a much higher vibrational energy, then the person starts to expand in consciousness.
So when someone is receiving this energy, Sanjay, then that is being transmitted remotely from the Himalayas or the Himalayas, depending on the pronunciation, then their consciousness is expanding. Is that correct?
That's right. That's the purpose of it. Just like a child, when you put a child, let's say a genius child, in a good environment, where you're giving them the opportunity, the freedom to expand, they will start becoming a genius. And if you put them in a dumb environment, they will start to really shut down. So that's the idea, is you put them in a higher vibrational state or energetic environment, and they start to blossom.
Wow, amazing, amazing. So let's table that conversation for just a moment, and I want to get back to that. But let's switch back now to the narcissism and narcissistic abuse. You know, so when, I don't know about everyone else, but when I think of narcissism, I think of Narcissus, right? Staring at his own reflection in the pond, someone in love with themselves. Can you maybe give us a broader scope of that, of really what it means to be narcissistic?
Right. So even before I answer that question, if it's okay, Ian, let me give a little bit of a framework of why even I picked this topic up.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think it's very relevant to the discussion. So I'm not trying to offend him or mean to offend anyone, so if somebody does get offended, I apologize in advance. So in spiritual circles, we talk about the concept of love quite a bit. The question really is, what does it even mean? What does this word love even mean? Is it just a fancy term, or is there a certain meaning behind it that is relevant to a person? So if you take from Bible, let's say the Bible says love thy neighbor. What if I hate my neighbor? If I have to love my neighbor regardless of how I truly feel inside, then love is a bondage, right? So is this what love is? A bondage, a commandment? In my perspective, love is for love to have any meaning, it needs to be free. I should be able to love or hate anybody. Right? So that is freedom of love. It cannot be forced upon me. And this is the real crux of my entire work and my talk, is what do we practice? What is love, and how do we practice it? So love, in my mind, that most of us have been practicing, and I was practicing, is a bondage love. It is not free love that we practice. And the core need of a human being is freedom. I think love is a byproduct of freedom, but freedom is the core need. If I'm not free to love or not to love, then love is not free anymore. So the real question is, how do I free myself to love the way I want to love? And that is what the heart energy is all about. It's freedom of the heart, freedom of what I really want to do, not based on societal principles and conditionings and whatnot, but what is my true heart desire really? So that is the core, which really helps us move forward in a way that is meaningful to our own life and meaningful to other people around us. Now, narcissist can be defined as a person who controls somebody else. So let's say, I'll give you my personal example. My mother, she had many, many wounds, just like anybody else, and bless her heart. But she was coming from that place of control, of how do I control my life and people's life and around me, their lives, so that I am served in the best way possible. I, meaning her. Mm-hmm. And that's a narcissist who wants to control people so that their life is better. That's the definition of a narcissist. And what happens is the people who are in that narcissistic abuse, they lose their heart. They lose their freedom that I'm so fond of. It's freedom to love, freedom not to love. So she forced us to love her. And what it really created was hate for her. So this kind of a mindset where we are trying to control other people's minds and hearts, that's a narcissist. And this is not just, narcissism is not just, it can come in many various levels and forms. Religion is, most of the religious principles are narcissistic. They're trying to control people's minds into believing certain things. Similarly, very strict parents, they may not be narcissistic, but they are very strict in their principles. That the child is not free to experience and express themselves that they want to express. And of course, we as parents, we have to control to some degree, but at the same time, it's a very fine line of how we want the children to grow up. And I think that's where the real distortion happens, is when the child is controlled to that extent that they lose their individuality and they now become a robot rather than anything else.
Can you share with everyone how the results of a childhood where you've undergone narcissistic abuse might show up later in life? And so maybe there's people listening today who, as you're speaking, are going, oh, goodness, that could be me. So could you help people understand how the results of being in a narcissistic relationship or childhood are showing up today in our lives?
Yeah, very good question, actually, Ian. Let me give you a couple of simple examples that people may be able to relate to. And this goes across the board in all forms of all aspects of life, not just one. But I'll give you one or two examples. So I come across in my work many women who are overweight and they want to reduce their weight. And I frequently get this question, I'm doing everything right. I'm eating right. I'm exercising right. I'm following the spiritual principles, but I'm unable to lose my weight. So one of my recent clients, I actually told her, you are essentially practicing, you have learned to practice bondage love. If you allow yourself to experience and practice free love, you will lose the weight. And I gave her some suggestions. And within 3 months, roughly, she lost about 90 pounds. She was 150 pounds overweight.
Goodness.
Now, she is, so the way that it was showing, the heart energy being blocked, was showing up in her life in the form of excessive weight. So it was not related to food. It was not related to exercise. It was just related to she not being able to express her emotions and herself in the way that resonates with her heart. So the heart energy got closed up. And that happened at a young age where she was not allowed to do things she wanted to do. And that started to show up as a physical excess of weight. Very. It sounds like the weight has to be related to food and exercise, but it is not. In this case, at least, it was not. So that's one example of how a distortion or the shutdown of our heart starts showing up in a physical body like this. And when she started practicing free love, it started to open her up into experiencing what the soul wanted to experience, not what her mind and her family and her surroundings wanted to, her to experience, but what she truly wanted to experience. And it's a little bit of a challenge sometimes because we are so programmed into believing in a certain way that we, our soul start to think, okay, well, whether I'm doing something right or wrong. But it, that's where the work of practicing free love comes in.
Mm.
Another example is allergies. Many people come with food allergies. And I ask this simple question, what kind of food do you eat? And they say, okay, I'm eating all healthy food, organic and all vegetables and whatnot. And I said, do you really enjoy that? And they sort of show a weird face when I ask that question.
Mm.
But so what that tells me is that they're doing it because they think that's the right thing to do. But their soul is not aligned with that completely. So the body, what the soul, so one very big misconception is that the food is digested by the body. The truth is the food is not digested by the body, it's digested by the soul. So if you're eating some disgusting but healthy food, it's not going to work very well for the body. And it's a mental conditioning. The body is going to throw it, it'll disregard or discard the food that the soul is not accepting very well. So these are misconceptions about what we should do and what we are told to do versus what we, our heart really truly wants to do. That's the disconnect that causes the heart to block up.
Wow, wow. So I can hear like 100 people on the call right now, and there's more than that, but about 100 of the people on the call going, Ian, you need to ask Sanjay to expand on what he just said. I'm sure I'm getting emails right now regarding the food digested by the soul. And I don't want to get off topic, but it is related to what you're saying, because it's related to, you know, a symptom of this narcissistic behavior or abuse. So can you just tell us just a little bit more about the food? Because I think that's going to be very, very interesting to people listening right now, how that's digested by the soul. Could you just talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, see, when you're eating food, if you like the food, which is a very personal preference, right, the food cannot be, see, we live in a society where everything is statistics, is based on statistics. Okay, if you eat so many carrots a day, statistics shows that a person is going to be healthy. Now, I'm not a statistics. I'm not a number. I'm a person. And so if based on that statistics, I start to change my thinking and say, oh, carrots must be good for me, but the body is telling me something different. My soul is telling something different. I don't like, let's say, carrots. Right? So my personal preference has been shut down. My personal preference has been overridden by some doctor, some statistician who's saying, no, carrots are good or bad either way. Where is my personal preference on this? And where is that personal preference coming from? The personal preference comes from the heart. Right? So if I don't align with my personal preference and base it off somebody else's thought process, then I'm in trouble. Eventually, I'm in trouble. It may not show up in the body, but it will show up in other part of my life.
Mm. Thank you for that. Yeah, beautiful.
Just like in the example of the overweight kind of a thing, it was not based on the food at all, actually. It was based on, I'm not using any names here, it was based on her perception about sex.
Mm.
So these are sensitive things that cannot be taken from the outside world. It has to be looked from within in our own self.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, Sanjay. You know, what we've been speaking about now has a little bit of, it's mostly a relationship between, you know, the individual, the person, and maybe a belief system or a misalignment. You know, you did give the example of this other woman. But what about, you know, narcissism and how it affects dynamics between individuals, between people, so in a relationship, either with the person who is controlling, or maybe later on in life with someone and their beloved. You know, if someone is looking for that beautiful, you know, harmonious, you know, almost twin flame relationship. So just talk to us a little bit about relationships and how this early narcissism and abuse can impact relationships.
Right. So once we get programmed, which happens very early in life, so let's say before the age of 5, roughly, the child gets programmed that I don't have a free will. My needs and my desires have no meaning. What the parents want me to do is what is going to happen, and that's all I'm allowed to do. So my free will is taken away, almost. So the person whose free will has been taken away, that person will grow up into the abused and will most likely have a pretty tough life. I'm giving my example as well, and I've worked with many, many people who have gone through some similar backgrounds. It will ultimately lead to a complete mental and physical breakdown. Why is that the case? Because your heart energy is blocked completely. You're not free anymore to live your life. And the more you live in that environment, whether it is an external environment or you've incorporated that environment so much into your life that now you're living that life. You believe that's the way to live. So once your heart energy stops flowing, then life becomes meaningless. Depression, anxiety, physical ailments, they all can be traced back to the blockage of heart energy. Because there's no love left in life. I'm not free to do anything that I want to do. So I'm like a prisoner. Imagine what will happen to a prisoner, or you put a prisoner in a prison for 20, 30 years, they'll start languishing after a while. So even though we may be physically free, but if you're emotionally not free, it'll create the same effect on the body and the mind like a prisoner. And this is very, very commonly seen, more commonly than you can imagine. So that's the side of the abuse. On the other side of the narcissist itself, that person is living a decent life, I should say. As long as the abused is there in their life, the narcissist needs an abused person in their life to survive because they are the source of their life energy. That's where they're sucking the life energy from. So, you're not a dictator. History has seen these kind of narcissists throughout history. A dictator is a narcissist who's feeding on the souls of the poor people, taking whatever pennies they got left, and living a wonderful life in a palace while these poor people are dying. Right. So that's the characteristic of a narcissist.
Yeah.
So they'll have a good life overall, the narcissist. They'll not be happy. That's for sure. They're not happy people inside. But they have a decent life. On the other hand, the abuse, they live a pretty terrible life.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I want to talk about how to move away from the state, or, you know, how to gracefully break free from this abuse, as the title of your topic is. But, you know, let's turn this around, and maybe we can look in the mirror and so we can maybe self-identify or bring some awareness to some of our own actions. What are some of the ways where we can identify or bring awareness to the fact that maybe we are the ones who are being narcissistic and hurting others? Maybe we're not aware of that. What can we do to bring awareness to our own behaviors, our own thoughts, our own actions?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. How can the, is it possible that the abused themselves have become a narcissist of some kind? That's certainly a very big possibility. And the common factor between a narcissist and the abused is that they both carry a victim mindset. That's the common thread between them. So the narcissist feels they're victimized, and the other person also feels they're victimized. So the person who, on either side, they should identify and see if they have a victim mindset or not. And the victim mindset really goes against our true nature. The main difference between a human and an animal is that the humans have a free will, or have been given a free will. Right? To choose to make a choice is free will. So for whatever reasons, we pick up this idea that I don't have a free will, or at least we don't believe that we have a free will based on the environment that we grew up in. That creates a victim mindset, that if I don't have free will, that means I'm a victim. Everything will look like something as bad is happening to me. And that's where the challenge is, that we start to shift our mindset from victim to a creator, that I am creating my life. I have choices in my life, which is the truth, which really is the truth. So that's where I think the best thing to do for anyone, for that matter, whether narcissist or not, or abused, is to see if they feel they're victimized. Are they victimized by health? Are they victimized by money? Are they victimized by some other relationship? If anywhere there's a victimization kind of a mindset, it's something that needs to be understood, identified, and changed.
Hmm. Would that be then one of the ways, or maybe the most powerful way, to move then gracefully, powerfully from that mindset, you know, away from that quote-unquote deadly? It is deadly, because you mentioned that, you know, once your heart energy is blocked, basically your life ends in many ways. So is moving from the victim to the creator mindset one of the most powerful and graceful ways we can emerge from that?
Yes, absolutely. That is the goal, is to become the creator. That you have control over your life, the direction of your life. The problem is, how do we get from point A to point B is a kind of a complicated journey that can be made simpler by understanding the basic principles behind it. And that's what I'm going to cover. So we're going to talk about it later, but I'm going to cover certain key principles in the workshop, where how do you go from A to B? It's not an easy journey always, because we've been so deeply programmed or misprogrammed since early childhood, that to really understand, identify, and change those patterns is not a simple task sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just feeling here, Sanjay, that this is widespread. You know, when you first speak about narcissistic abuse, I thought, well, this is going to be a wonderful conversation, but I didn't really, maybe up until now, really fully understand that this is very widespread and really under the radar. You know, if you look at the victim mentality that really permeates so many members and so many people in this community and beyond, if a litmus test for someone who is either narcissistic or has been narcissistically abused is a victim mindset, then this is an extremely large problem. It's really, we have almost a bit of an epidemic.
Yeah, my personal guess is about 95% of the humanity suffers from this.
Wow.
That's my personal guess. That's why you see an epidemic at all levels of the society. If you look at, I was looking at some statistics somewhere, that child cancer has dramatically increased over the last 20, 30 years. The amount of cases of child cancer have gone up God knows how much, like 200, 300%. And if you look at it carefully, from an energetic dynamics perspective, what is child cancer? Why are children picking up cancer at such a young age? The answer is that all the negative energies that the parents are carrying because of stress and whatnot who picks up the brunt of that? The weakest person in the family, which is a child. The child picks up the brunt of it. And typically that family that has got too much of stress is because there's one narcissistic person. And I, again, narcissists may sound an extreme case, but there's the whole spectrum of it, like some from low narcissist to a very extreme narcissist. And so it really affects every part of the society. CEO of a company can affect hundreds of people. One narcissistic CEO can affect the entire company.
Yeah, it's very clear. You know, the more you speak about this, and I think like energetically we can feel that. You know, it's like the old saying, you know, when the penny drops. You know, I really feel energetically, personally, certainly, that the penny's dropped. I think there's been the level of awareness that you've brought to this conversation, Sanjay, that is really, really needed. So thank you so much for bringing this conversation and just bringing the awareness around this subject that's really affecting so many people. I can just feel it. I can just feel it right now. And there's no question I can feel it. I mean, there's grief around this. There's sadness that's coming up. I know that, there's a lot going on right now in the community based on this conversation. So I know the divine is using you in a very special way. I can really, really feel it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of history behind it. Look at the 1,000, 2,000 years of history from Romans to Greeks to whatever. There has been so much of suppression and oppression. It's all in the fabric of our human consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's do this, everyone. Let's go to the phones. And if you joined a little later and you didn't get the question, you can actually ask Sanjay, what is the one pattern in my consciousness that is blocking me from going to the next level of happiness? So this is an amazing service that Sanjay is providing right now in these questions and his readings. What is the pattern in your consciousness that is blocking you from going to the next level of happiness? So if you're calling in on the phone, as soon as we bring you on the phone, tell us your name, and then you can ask Sanjay that question. And then we'll also go to the web as well. And I know a lot of you are already asking that question on the web as well. So we'll do the Q&A for a while. We'll get some live callers on the phone, *2 to raise your hand. We'll go to the web. And then also at the end of the call, towards the end of the call, Sanjay is going to take us through a beautiful self-worth meditation. So there's still a lot to go through today, everyone. So let's go to the phone. So the first person is going to be in White Court, Alberta, AB, that's Canada, right? Alberta. And 0224 are the last four digits of your phone number, and you're live on the phone.
Hi, Sanjay.
Hello.
It's Darlene.
Hey, Darlene, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, welcome. I was thinking of you. So when I heard you on this call, I says, I'm getting on. But I dialed the wrong PIN number. So what's going on with me, Sanjay? Because I'm experiencing something that's blocking me. I get there, and then the happiness kind of goes. So I don't know what's going on here.
Okay, so give me a second. Let me tap. With your permission, tap into your energy field. Yeah?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Just in case anybody doesn't know this, this guy is such a beautiful heart and soul.
Thank you, Darlene.
Thank you, Darlene.
Okay, so Darlene, your core pattern
mm-hmm.
is your, which is probably the case with most people, is that you accepted that you are a bad person.
Okay.
At some subconscious level, that you accepted that you've done something wrong and you're a bad person. And this probably goes back to when you were probably, I think, 6 or 7-ish. And what that does is it creates a pattern of guilt. And the guilt pattern is an energy of punishment.
Yeah, I thought I got rid of that already.
Yeah, there can be layers of it. But if the guilt is still there, then you will constantly attract punishment.
Okay, you're right about the guilt. You're right about the guilt, because I kind of figured that, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
So, well, I kind of do, you know. My dad just recovered from having cancer and that, but he all like, you know my condition. Anyways, it's just like, the theme is like, poor me, you know, poor me, beat my bedside, poor me. And if I don't be there, you kind of like, why aren't you going to be there, you know? And I had to, it's been a challenge.
yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, attend my workshop if you can, because it will greatly bring awareness to what are the patterns that we really commonly get stuck in.
Okay.
So the workshop will be very useful for you.
And how do I attend to the workshop? Because I'm already on your program already.
Yeah, you can sign up on Ian's program, or we can talk about it separately. Okay.
That sounds good. Thank you, Sanjay. Much love.
Thanks, Jolene. Much love to you. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Selden, New York. Selden, New York, 1596. You're on live with Sanjay.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi. Welcome.
Okay, so I'm learning to heal this body. It's been a painful near-death experience for years. I was given Levaquin and Cipro. So what that does is it alters your DNA. And what's the next step to overcoming this, learning to heal like myself?
Maybe my voice on my side is not coming out well. Ian, what was the issue that he mentioned?
FQAD.
FQAD, I'm not familiar with that.
It's permanent nerve damage from taking Levaquin and Cipro. There's hundreds of thousands of people. There's hundreds, literally hundreds. If you look at the information, it takes you to the unavoidable fact that we're all a GMO already. There's no avoiding it. Because so much of this stuff's been given to our livestock.
Okay, got it.
DNA damage.
Okay, so your question is, how can you heal yourself from this issue, right?
Right.
So I'm gonna tap into your energy field with your permission. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So the first thing that comes up is self-punishment. You are angry at somebody, and you're punishing yourself so that they get punished in return. Does that make any sense?
It's that's a lot for the mind to I've taken enough responsibility for this.
No, it's not about responsibility. Responsibility, of course, but are you angry at somebody, really?
Not to the level that I create a near-death experience in my life.
Okay. Were you angry at somebody before these events?
Yeah.
Okay. So that thread is still there. That thread is still there. And that's what that thread, if you can heal that thread, your body will completely recover. That thread of anger frustration, hatred, whatever you want to call it, that thread is still there in your consciousness.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks, Randy. Is that helpful?
That was great.
Okay.
It's a lot for the mind, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a little tricky thing. It's tricky, I know. I realize that.
To take responsibility for this is all I came for and more, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Randy. Much love to you now. Okay. Let's go to Santa Barbara, California. Santa Barbara, California. And the last four digits are 1567. 1567, Santa Barbara.
Hi. This is Katie speaking. Hi.
Hey, welcome.
I am so glad to be on this call. This is so helpful just to hear about being able to have preferences. I just was like, this big window opened up. It was like such a huge aha, like, oh, wow. So I guess I'll ask the generic question since no one else has. What is the pattern in my consciousness that is blocking me from going to my next level of awareness and happiness?
Okay. Is there any particular issue you want to address or just generic?
Well, yes, I do. I have been continuing to have headaches on the right side, and they seem to be coming from various parts of my stem from like the middle part of my body and up through the vagus nerve to the right side of my head. But basically, I just need more, I just need to feel more confidence in my breath that I can breathe through certain things, because I think sometimes I still hold my breath a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but the physical symptom is pain in the right side of the body, right?
The left lower side and the right upper side.
Okay. Okay. So can I tap into your energy field with your...
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
Can I tap into your energy field with your permission?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yours also seems like similar roughly to the previous one, Randy, I think. There's suppressed emotion of anger.
Okay.
There's suppressed emotion of anger that is creating that pressure inside your body.
All right.
And causing the headaches. So you've got to look at and see what emotion are you suppressing. And what would be the best way to release that emotion? Because I don't think just getting angry at somebody is going to help you.
No.
Did you have some narcissistic relationship in your life?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that's where the suppression came from. And it's all bottled up inside. So you need to find a good way to release that emotion in a way that is conducive for your well-being. Because I'm sure from what I see, you've tried it in the past. But
I couldn't understand. You're sure that what?
That you have tried releasing these emotions in the past?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but it was not successful. It did not bring you the relief that you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do some very special kind of work to release it.
Okay. This is so helpful.
Think of what your need is. Think of what your need is. Go from your needs rather than just releasing the anger. Try to understand your needs very carefully and then release it.
understand my needs very carefully.
Yeah, because see what happens is, like, if you look at a child, the child is crying and the parent doesn't know why. And that's what happens when we grow up, that we don't have a good way of communicating our needs. And we start literally being angry is like being like a child crying. Now, the other side doesn't know what this child needs. So the more you're able to vocalize your needs, whether to yourself, to the universe, or to the other person, I think that's how you will release this emotion. That's my guess for now.
That's so helpful.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Much love to you. Thanks for calling in.
Both of them. Much love to you both.
Mm. All right. Let's go to the web for a little while. So, everyone, we're going to do some more Q&A in a while on the phones, but we've got a lot of people on the web. So let's go to Mary. And Mary from – oh, we already took Canada. Excuse me. This is Deanna from Woodbridge. Thanks, Nicole. What is the number one pattern in my consciousness that's blocking me from going to the next level? Deanna?
You're going to be talking to her, or?
No, this is a web call. This is a,
okay.
Yeah, so what we'll just answer the questions fairly quickly. We'll just go through some on the web. If you can just tune in and tell them what their number one pattern is that's blocking them.
Okay. What is her name? Sorry, Deanna, right?
Deanna.
Okay. All right. So, Deanna, I'm going to tap into your energy field. Yeah, her energy looks very, for lack of a better word, flat, in the sense of, like, you know, like soda that has lost its fizz. And I think that is because she has lived in a suppressed environment for so long that her heart energy is not bubbling up. And for her, she needs to rekindle her passions. And she feels sort of just so suppressed and almost like depressed that she's unable to find the joy back in her life.
Thank you.
It'll take a little bit longer to understand the core issues, but that's what I'm getting, at least from a quick read.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So, Deanna, I would maybe suggest that you do, if you're on the call now, to listen to Sanjay's workshop on as part of his offer. You know, Sanjay, what I didn't read to you was that Deanna said, I was in a narcissistic relationship in the past, and I suspect my mom had narcissistic tendencies. So that's kind of spot on that reading. Okay, Joan from Austin. Let's just go to that question. What is blocking me from realizing my next level of happiness? From Joan from Austin.
Okay. So, Joan, I'm going to tap into your energy field. I'm reading that she's had a suppressive environment, but she did manage to when somebody's in a suppressive environment, they can come out on the other side in two different ways. One is they become too conformed, and the other side they become too rebellious. because they're trying to break free from that suppression.
Mm.
So in her case, which is different than some of the other cases I just talked about, she seems to have tried to step over the other side of becoming a little rebellious, which is great, which is great. And I think she managed things relatively well. I think the answer lies in her acceptance of her true value. The more she starts accepting herself in her true value, the less belligerent she'll feel, the less need to express and tell people how good she is, and people automatically start to see who she is. So I think for her, the problem is slightly different from the other cases, where the others were so suppressed inside that they need some energy to bring them out and start becoming themselves first. She is actually on a little bit more positive side, so to speak.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah, Joan also mentioned that she was actually in a narcissistic abuse recovery program after living in a narcissistic relationship for 23 years. So sounds like you're spot on there as well. Thank you. This is Lauren from Maryland. And same thing, she would like to know what is the one pattern in her consciousness blocking her from going to the next level of happiness. Lauren.
Well, she wants to enjoy life, well, like anybody else, but it's a very distinct flavor for her enjoyment. And she doesn't feel free in enjoying life because of whatever conditioning she's gone through. So for her, the way to move forward would be to slowly and gradually allow herself to enjoy life the way she wants to. First, identify how she wants to enjoy life. And then see what blocks does she feel come in the way. Because anytime she starts to take a step towards enjoying life, she will find some thread pulling her back. And so if you can identify those threads and understand what is pulling her back or stopping her from going forward, then she can release those threads and move forward. She's really looking forward to enjoy life. That's what I'm getting, at least.
Mm, thank you. Wonderful. Well, we're going to go back to the phones and do some more readings, everyone, in just a little while. But since we're talking about some of the work that can be done around this, and certainly since Sanjay is identifying some issues, this would be a good time for us to share with you a little bit more about Sanjay's work. So if you're on the webcast page, everyone, then you would click the orange offer button underneath Sanjay's photograph. Staring at you on that page. Wonderful. So click the orange button, and then you'll be taken to a page that says Graceful Healing from Narcissistic Abuse. And this is Sanjay's offer for everyone in the wisdom community today. And if you're not on the webinar page, but you'd like to type it in so that you can follow along visually, you would type in WOTA Summit. Summit, of course, is two M's and one T, .com. And then / Sanjay, that's Sanjay, Sanjay, and the number 4, everything is lowercase, WOTASummit.com/Sanjay, and the number 4. And that way you can follow along visually. So beautiful, Sanjay, it would be wonderful if you could take us through your program that you've put together on Graceful Healing from Narcissistic Abuse.
Right. So there are two parts of this package, or there are three separate packages, but two main programs. One is the workshop, and the other is energy transmission. And both are wonderful programs. It depends on what resonates with you, what would you like to do. I recommend both, but see what resonates with you both on your side. So the workshop essentially is conscious work. So for us to heal, we need conscious and subconscious healing simultaneously. So the workshop is about more conscious work. There'll be a lot of energy work as well, because we're going to be talking about various different truths that will bring to understanding the psychological and spiritual framework that is required for you to break free from this pattern. So it's a pattern. Like, think of it as a maze of some kind, right? And you're trying to get out of this maze to find your freedom into the open field. And you're stuck in the maze. You're just going in circles from one to the other, kind of a thing. Now, what if I give you a map? Okay, if you're here, then go here, kind of a thing. So this workshop is essentially going to be some sort of a map for you to traverse your way out of this maze. And the maze is very similar for pretty much everyone. Anyone stuck in this kind of a situation where they had a very difficult and complicated childhood or religious programming. Religious is also very important, because half of my clients come where they have had good parents, but very, very controlling religious background. So how do you come out of such deep-rooted programming in an easier way? That's the purpose of the workshop. And if you have this roadmap in front of you, it makes it a lot easier. So at least you know where you're going. You know how big is the maze and how complicated it is. Once you know the turns, you are so much in power. And in the workshop, I will bring to consciousness the various belief patterns, thought patterns, energetic patterns that are keeping you trapped, that are part of this whole maze system. And depending on how badly your life has turned out so far, you will see that a lot of people will see there's a lot of body-related issues that start to arise after a certain time. So the longer you stay in a narcissistic framework, the longer the more the body gets distorted. All kinds of physical issues will start to crop up as you move along. And it is imperative that you understand and heal them, because these patterns don't get resolved by themselves. They will require a decent amount of work, so to speak. And large part of this work is going to be how to come out of the state of victim consciousness. What is an effective way to come out of victim state? Well, that is the underpinning of this very, very complicated issue. So that's what the workshop is going to be about, and I'm going to make it as interactive as possible. I will try to pair up two people together so that they can work up with each other during the workshop. So the workshop is set up for, I think, next Saturday, I believe. It's on the 2nd of March, I think. Yeah, 2nd of March at, I'm forgetting the time I set it up for. But anyway, So it's on the 2nd of March. And it's going to be 2 hours long. It might go a little bit beyond that, depending on how things are flowing. But it's going to be very, very enlightening workshop. It's going to break you free from many, many confusions that you have had in your life. Okay, so that's about the workshop. And then the second part is the Lifetron energy transmission. It's a 24/7 energy transmission. It's an unseen energy, like most of the useful energies are unseen. 30 days, you will be in the presence of this energy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it will start changing you from inside. It's a gentle energy. I actually call it grace energy. It's a very gentle energy that will start shifting your thought patterns, belief patterns from inside. And it's the best way to explain it is like you take a child who's been really abused, and you take the child and put that child into a very nurturing environment. right? How does it start to affect their body? How does the nurturing environment all of a sudden shift their perception about their own self and perception of the reality? So a child who's coming from an abused environment will have a very distorted perception of the world. Like people are bad, situations are bad, and everything is going to be looking bad, of course. They've been in such a bad environment for so long. Now you put them in a positive environment, it'll start to detoxify the body and the mind from all these negative patterns. And of course, it does take some time, but you would start to feel the relief. So the combined effect of this, these two, can make a very big difference. Of course, I cannot claim that it will solve all your problems in a month or so, but it's going to start shifting you, start the snowball effect in a positive way. It will change the course of your destiny. I'm very certain of that. If you do these two things simultaneously, they will change the course of your destiny. If you're going in the wrong direction for 20, 30, 40 years, it'll change the course of your life.
Whew, powerful, powerful, powerful. Change the course of your destiny. Wow. So let me ask you this, Sanjay. So actually, some people also wrote in about this regarding the LifeTron energy work as well, about, you know, if we do the LifeTron work for the 30 days, is it something that we should do on an ongoing basis, or is, you know, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, you know, because I know that it's going to make a profound difference and a profound shift. But, you know, I think hearing it from you, you know, because it is a snowball effect, as you mentioned, but hearing it from you, if we do the 30 days, is that a good amount to shift the energy, to shift the paradigms, or would someone really have to do it for longer to get truly, truly, you know, more change in their life?
Yeah, very good question. Once you're in light, meaning you have seen the light, you've experienced the life, whether it is for long term or whether it's for short term, it is going to change your perspective of your everything around you. Okay, so imagine somebody has been in a closed room for 10, 20 years, hasn't seen light in a long time. Right? And when they see the light, they start to realize what light looks like, what feels like. So it has now created an impression in their mind, in their subconscious mind, that there is light, that I don't have to live in this darkness forever. Now that shift of perspective itself is invaluable. It may not solve all the problems. They may go back to the darkness. That's fine. But they shift in perspective that there is a possibility. Once that seed gets set up in your consciousness, it's a huge deal. That is what changes the destiny. Now, the second half of the question is, how long does it take to solve my problems? I think that's a slightly different question than the first one.
Yeah.
So it will affect you. 30 days, it will affect you. Now, if you want, you can continue it and have more sort of speed up and changes in your life, and you can continue it. But if you even leave it after 30 days, it's made an impression that is not going to be reversible. It's not reversible. Once you've seen the experience of the life, it is imprinted in your mind. So either way is fine. You can do long, you can do short. But having experience in itself is changing the destiny.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, very powerful that what you just said there, the results are not reversible. You know, so you've had the course correction, you've had the shifting, and they're irreversible. Wonderful. So let me ask you, we spoke about this in the beginning, and so I think people are still curious. Maybe I know I'm just a little bit curious about this energy. And you mentioned that maybe if you join the call, everyone later, maybe you missed this, but Yogananda, Paramahamsa Yogananda, mentioned Lifetron energy in his book, Autobiography, of a Yogi. Tell us again a little bit more about the specific Lifetron energy, maybe for the benefit of those people who joined later, because I know there were a few people who joined after you mentioned that. So for the benefit of people who joined later, can you explain exactly how that works again?
So Lifetrons are particles of life energy. And the best way to mentally comprehend is that every single atom in the universe, the material universe, has got electrons in it. We know that from science. So without the electrons, the material universe will not exist. Right? Similarly, there are life energy particles that Yogananda calls the Lifetrons, and I am using the same term. These are life energy particles. These are very subtle energies, which is not detectable, so to speak, by the mind or any scientific instrument. These life energy particles are the basis of any living organism. So without these life energy particles, life will not exist. And what happens is when these particles get depleted in our body and mind, because based on our conditionings, programmings, and challenges we have gone through in life, then the body and the mind has a hard time healing itself. And these particles are in nature everywhere, just like electrons are everywhere. So I found a way to harness these particles from nature and then wirelessly transmit them to any person anywhere on the planet, person or any living creature for that matter.
Right.
And this, so as you get recharged with these particles, it makes it easier to move forward. Remember, it's like the journey of making it easier to move forward. It is not going to solve, it may or may not solve all your problems right away, but it is going to change, it is going to course correct your life for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's light, it's life, it's light. And the biggest need for a human being who's gotten off track is the first step is to course correct. But if I am continuing on the wrong path for the rest of my life, then there's no way to go in a positive direction. So first step is course correction, and then getting the help you need to move forward in the journey is what these particles provide. They're regenerative. They regenerate the body and the mind. And I also provide a short, very short, two couple of minutes meditation that can potentially help you move forward even more faster along with this energy. So, when you sign up, it's actually a very, very simple method to open your energy field. So what happens is when you've been in a state of struggle for so long, our energy field shuts down, right? And if you visually think of it, if you criticize a person, say bad words to that person, their energy field will shut down to protect itself, right? And that's what happens when you've been struggling for so long, that we have a hard time opening up to good things coming in. So I'll provide a short, very very simple idea that you do it after you wake up in the morning and before you go to sleep, just a couple of minutes every morning and evening, that will start opening your energy field to accept more of this healing energy that comes to you.
Wow, beautiful. Beautiful. And so
Yeah, one more thing I just wanted to mention for Lifetron. I do give the option, if you want to customize this energy, it can be customized for your needs. So you can provide me with your list of issues, physical, mental issues, and I will customize the energy for you that is very specifically designed for you. So that option is also available if you choose to use that.
Thank you. And it's also the option, everyone, to add other members of your family or or pets, you can do so on the order form, which actually brings me to a question that someone just asked, Sanjay. You know, with energy work, we have to be very careful. We can't necessarily just get into someone else's space or into their field without their permission. Can this be ordered for someone without their knowledge, or should it be with their permission? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a very commonly asked question, and it's a good question. But in this work, as long as that person is connected to you in some form and shape, you can do it for anybody else, because you're just allowing the grace energy to go to them. You're not opening their energy field for doing sending bad stuff to them. So I have almost my 50% of my clients are people who don't even know they're on the energy. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's a beautiful way to bring some amazing changes for people and raise vibration on the planet. Wonderful, beautiful. And if I'm doing the narcissistic workshop, then this would amplify any of the work that I'm doing through the workshop as well. I'm sure this would hasten the process towards, and I'm going to use the word recovery, not to offend, but hasten my recovery or my energy shifting through the workshop if I also do the lifetime energy, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the two go hand in hand pretty well. In fact, I've seen the people who have the hardest time healing despite doing all kinds of work is because they're coming from a narcissistic background. And I've got data to prove that. And so if they do some level of conscious work, very guided and carefully designed conscious work, and combine it with energy, they can move at light years ahead.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for this beautiful offer. If you joined late, I'm not sure, but there are so many people. I think we've identified so many people, as Sanjay was talking, who really are impacted or affected by narcissistic abuse in some fashion. Sanjay mentioned close to 95% by his estimation of people are affected in some fashion. So beautiful, beautiful offer. Of service, really, Sanjay, to the community. So thank you so much for bringing this to Wisdom of the Ancients. I know on behalf of the community, I know we all appreciate this. So thank you.
Well, you guys are very kind.
Well, let's do this. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll take some more questions. We're going to go to Park City, Utah. Park City, Utah, and the last four digits of your phone number are 9878. Park City, Utah.
Hi, this is Terry, and I give you permission to check to see what is slowing down or what is my next step to. Yes, thank you.
thanks, Terry.
In terms of conscious work, I think you, if you can stop criticizing yourself, that'll be very helpful for you.
Very good.
You probably have seen enough criticism in your life.
Yes.
So I think that, so don't do that to yourself.
Okay.
Be very kind to yourself, appreciate yourself. Be loving to yourself as much as you can, but it's a new habit that you can form, that you can slowly start to shift.
Okay.
I personally do this exercise for myself once a week. I call it a dieting exercise. Okay.
Uh-huh.
For 24 hours a day, I'll turn on my stopwatch on my phone. And I'll say, today for 24 hours, I'm not going to blame, criticize myself or anybody else.
Okay.
And just for 24 hours, and then I turn off this stopwatch. It's a very, very regenerative exercise for me, at least.
Very good.
So 24 hours, don't criticize yourself.
All right. Well, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry. Much love to you. Thanks for calling in. All right. Let's go to Toronto, Ontario. 5613. 5613, you're on live.
Hi, this is Chanda calling, Sanjay.
Hi, welcome.
Hello. Hey, how are you, Chanda?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, well, I'll put through the generic question too to see what's blocking me, because as you know, I've been doing a lot of work on myself to heal and everything, but there is something that's stopping me from getting to my next level. It's there. I can feel it, but it's not there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so for you, I think it's finding peace with yourself. You're at unpeace with yourself. Why is that the case? You have to investigate a little bit more. But that's where it is coming from. That's where what your pattern is, that you're unpeace with yourself, That's the issue. That's the core pattern that is keeping you going in circles.
Interesting.
Because
I'm doing a lot of self love, a lot of forgiving myself and everybody else. I have come to the point where I do the dieting too, but not only once every 24 hours, but I do it very regularly.
Good.
So that's doing very consciously. That's what I'm trying to say.
Wonderful. Yeah. So find the. So your job will be to find where you're unpeace with yourself. What issues? They're not very hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You will find them very quickly once you ask the right question. Ask the right question. What is making me unpeaceful about my own self?
I guess I know the issue is definitely my finance. That's the only one, actually. I lose my peace over that one.
No, it's not finance. It's not finances.
No?
No, it's not finances. It's something to do with your relationships.
Hmm.
And that too, not recent relationships. It's back in your mother or father relationship.
Just my mother or father?
Yeah, one or the both or whatever. But something happened, I don't know if it was one incident or whether it was multiple incidences, but something made you unhappy with your relationships with your mother or your father, and that's been continuing for a long time.
Even if they've passed on?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
So how do you release that when they've gone and you still hear yourself?
Yeah, see, the pattern is not in them, the pattern is in you.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I do a lot of reading. How do I keep doing it?
Well, you have to understand the pattern, and I think that's going to take a little bit of time, but to understand what caused you to become unpeaceful in your relationship. What was it that was not fulfilled when they were with you?
Mm-hmm.
What part of you was not fulfilled?
Yeah.
And that's, so there's a part of you that was not fulfilled in your relationship with them, and that's what's causing it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much
love to you. Bye. Sanjay, quick question for you. We've got a few people that have asked the same question. You know, since it's a live workshop, usually they are recorded as well, but just if you can confirm for us that they're going to be recorded and people will receive the replays?
Confirm from my side?
Yeah, confirm that the live workshop will be recorded and people will be able to listen to the audios afterwards?
Yeah, for me it's not a problem.
Yeah, right. So it's a recorded workshop. So if people are not able to make the workshop, they will get the replay, the recording, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And so one thing you mentioned also, you mentioned pairing up. I just want to clarify, because people are asking about
if they're not able to attend and not able to pair up with someone, they'll still receive the benefits of the workshop?
Yes, yes, absolutely. The pairing is probably an additional way to bring to consciousness. And I'm not even sure if I'm going to do the pairing or not. I haven't worked it out yet.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary. The recording is fine, yes.
Right,
so,
right.
They will be able to listen to the recording, and there won't be any personal information unless they don't want to share it. That's a different story. We'll tell them beforehand that whatever they're going to tell me on the call is going to be recorded, if they're okay or not.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, for those of you asking the questions, you'll still receive, you know, the full content and the full benefit of the workshop, even if you're not able to make it live, which is sometimes the case. Everyone can attend live, but you know, these are structured in such a way that that is taken into consideration, and the information is still of extreme importance, and you can still receive the full benefits even if you can't make it live. So don't worry about that. You'll get the recording as well. Okay. Yes. Well, Sanjay, I would love it if you would like to take us through that process. But before you do that, you know, is there anything that I haven't asked you or you feel the community should know? Maybe we didn't cover some information that you feel is important for people to know, or do you think we covered enough to give people a good understanding and we can move on to your meditation now?
I think we can move on to the meditation.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. All right. Well, the meditation Sanjay is going to take us through is called, it's to give you a rapid increase in self-worth. So why don't you, Sanjay, just explain a little bit about what you're going to do, and then I'll literally hand it over to you to take people through.
Okay. So behind all of our issues, right, is the issue that we are not connected with our own self. Based on early childhood programmings, a split happens in our consciousness. One part goes under the surface, it becomes subconscious, and it's not visible to us. It's not accessible to us. And that's sort of more of our true spirit, if you want to call it. And the other part is an ego that generates. And I'm not using the term ego in a bad way. It's just that it's, in psychological terms, it's called a personality adaptation, where based on the environment, what is acceptable to the society, what is not acceptable to the society, we put up a fake face in front of other people. And that becomes such a part of our nature that we forget that that's not who we really are. So this split in consciousness is, I believe, at the root of many, many of our issues. So the more we are able to integrate various pieces of us into a complete whole, the better off our life becomes. So this short meditation is going to try to accomplish that as much as possible in a short period, but that's the intent and that's the purpose of this meditation. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, so just close your eyes and open your inner awareness. Relax, just take a couple of deep breaths and just relax. There's no rush, there's no hurry. You have eternity to love. And just do the best you can. I'm going to be assisting you in this process, both energetically as well as verbally. So your job is to relax and just follow. Okay. Think of a pond. And the pond has some ripples on the top. But you can see the bottom to some degree. Let's say mental framework I'm providing for your mind to understand where we are going with this. There's a very bright light at the bottom of the pond. You can make out there's a bright light inside. Okay, so turn your awareness towards more of your heart area. And take your consciousness deeper and deeper in that side. You see where that light is coming from. What is that light? Now, open your awareness towards your feelings as well. Because the deeper we can go in our feelings, the deeper we'll go inside our own awareness. The mind can take us only so far. Then it will be the job of the feelings. So mind has brought us to this point where we have become aware that there's a light. But to experience the light, the mind cannot take us there, the feelings work. So now I want you to switch from the mind to the feelings. Feel your heart. Feel your heart. Feel you. I want you to feel yourself. There's a part of you that is under the surface. And we are going deeper and deeper, and the intention is to merge with that light. To identify with that light. To integrate that light into your consciousness. The light that has been separated from you, you want to integrate with it. So I want you to give the consent that you are going to integrate with your own self. You're not going to hide from it. You're going to integrate with it. Give yourself that consent that I'm going to integrate myself with my own self. With that piece of me that got me separated at an early age, but I'm making the choice of integrating with it again. To feel that, to be that, who I really am. Allow yourself to merge and integrate with this light that is you. It's not separate from you, it is you. There's no God outside, there's God within you. The God is you. The God is you. The God is you. feel the merging. Identify with this light. I am this light. Feel it. Feel the new identity. And feel the rest and peace in this new identity. All the worries, all the stresses that you experience from the separation goes away. Because you're home with your own self. All the anxiety and worry is because you're separated from your own self. Now you're back together as you, as one unit. And in this merger, all separate pieces of you, all fragments of you, because of all the conditionings, all the fragmentation goes away. And you're one complete whole. As you, full and complete in every which way. This whole idea and notion of you not being complete just disappears in this new state of awareness. There's no state of isolation or loneliness in this state. There's no anxiety, no worry. You're whole, you're complete, you're home. You're at rest. You're at peace. Anytime you feel discontented or confused or worried or anxious, you can just go back to this. Allow yourself to be in unity with the Trinity. Complete. You're complete. You're whole and you're complete. There's only love that exists in this state. You're whole and you're complete. You are whole and you're complete. You are whole and you're complete. You can be ready, you can slowly open eyes.
Thank you. Wonderful. Beautiful process, Sanjay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been wonderful, wonderful having you on the show and sharing this really important information with all of us. Thank you for bringing your insight and just exposing, I think, exposing this. I think that's the word I was looking for earlier. You know, bringing our awareness to this issue and then also helping us understand that there is a way to move gracefully out of that state. So beautiful. Thank you so much for your work and for your presence today, Sanjay.
Absolutely. And thanks for all your work that you do and your community as well. I honor, respect, love all of you.
Beautiful. Well, everyone, this has come to an end. Our time together has come to an end. So thank you so much, everyone, for being here. Really appreciate you continuing to shine your light and to share your amazing energy. And just thank you for having, you know, the commitment to come to these calls and the willingness to really put the work in and to understand that which needs to be done to really further your own and our own awareness as we start to accelerate our own ascension and our own soul's enlightenment process. So thank you, everyone, for being here. We thank Divine Mother. We thank Divine Father. We thank Mother Earth and Father Sun. We thank the Ancient Ones. We thank all the beautiful divine beings of love, light, power, and service for bringing us all together. Much love to you all. Bye now. Talk again.